Why did Jesus teach by means of illustrations? Why should we do so? Please listen for the answers to these questions as Brother Wade Duguay of the Braidwood Congregation in Houston present the talk, Illustrations Enhance Our Understanding of Kingdom Truths.
Never has another man spoken like this. Who said that? Do you recall the setting? Well, I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 7 so that we can recall what the situation was. Religious leaders who opposed Jesus sent officers to arrest him and bring him back. But what happened? Well, when the officers went to arrest Jesus, they found him teaching in John chapter 7, verse 45. It tells us what happened. Therefore, the officers went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, and the latter said to them, "Why is it you did not bring him in?" The officers replied, "Never has another man spoken like this." The officers were so impressed with Jesus' teaching that they returned empty-handed. But what contributed to the power of Jesus' teaching? Yes, the great teacher. Well, among the ingredients that we can highlight, one we'd like to single out was his very skillful use of illustrations. In fact, so characteristic of Jesus' teaching was his use of illustrations that Mark was moved to write what he did in the fourth chapter of his gospel. And as we turn there, he shows the quality of Jesus' teaching. Mark chapter 4, and we'll single out verse 34. Mark wrote, "Indeed, without an illustration, he would not speak to them. But privately, to his disciples, he would explain all things." So Jesus used that spice of illustrations to effectively help individuals to appreciate kingdom interests. He was able to make plain deep kingdom truths so that they will be plain and simple so that individuals can understand them. But more than that, by the use of illustrations, Jesus was able to reach the mind, the hearts, and yes, even the conscience of those who listen to him. So now here we are in the last days. We are to be footstep followers of Christ Jesus. So it's important that we want to learn from the illustrations that Jesus used, as well as others that we find in Scripture. But even more so, we want to imitate Christ Jesus in our disciple-making work by making effective use of illustrations. So what can illustrations accomplish? And how can we understand and benefit from Bible illustrations so that our understanding of kingdom truths might be enhanced? Well, what can illustrations accomplish? Well, when we think about an illustration, we think about something that will be representative of an example. It could be a thing, yes, an object, or perhaps even a situation or event that we use so that by using it, those listening to us will perhaps better understand, in many instances, a kingdom truth. And so if we think of illustrations that way, we can appreciate how effective they can be in helping others. Now, when we look at the illustrations of Jesus, they did more than just make deeper things more understandable to those who were in his audience. More importantly, Jesus used illustrations, and they, in a very effective way, supported his ministry in the following five ways. Now, we will highlight each of these five ways, and then we'll provide a scriptural citation for your further, more involved consideration, but we might single out a few verses in each of those. So we invite you to take note of those. the first. Illustrations can identify those who truly love God. Well, a scripture reference for that, Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. Well, let's specifically look at one of those verses, Matthew 13, verse 13. Notice what Jesus says here. This is why I speak to them by the use of illustrations. Because looking, they look in vain, and hearing, they hear in vain, neither do they get the sense of it. So Jesus saw the effective use of illustrations because if the application of an illustration wasn't clear, he knew that the honest-hearted ones, those who truly love God, would come to him for an explanation. Thus, those who truly love Jehovah God would thereby be identified. But let's look at a second purpose of illustrations. They can provide clear answers to questions on sensitive or touchy subjects, while at the same time permitting the individual who is responding to the question to not be entrapped if the question was presented by someone who really wasn't sincere or was really trying to entrap the individual so answering. Classic example of that is the reference that we'll provide at Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 21. The touchy subject, the paying of taxes. The Pharisees were trying to entrap Jesus by bringing that up. Jesus determined to use an illustration. What was the illustration? Well, he asked for a head tax coin. Jesus said, whose inscription is on it? They said Caesar's. And what did Jesus do? And so providing a clear answer, he said, thereby pay back Caesar's things to Caesar, but God's things to God. He gave a clear answer to the question, but he did not fall into the trap that they were endeavoring to set for him. Well, let's look at yet a third purpose of an illustration. They are designed to assist honest-hearted individuals to take a look at their situation and thereby benefit from a warning or a rebuke or a correction that might be extended to them. As a reference, Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. So we turn there, and we note Jesus here providing some answer to individuals. Again, Matthew chapter 9, we'll single out verse 12 and verse 13. Once again, the Pharisees were taking issue with Jesus. They were criticizing him because he was eating with those that were sinners. And so Jesus decided to use an illustration to cause them to stop and think. And this is what Jesus said, beginning in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 9. Hearing them, he said, persons in health do not need a physician, but the ailing do. Go then and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice, for I came to call not righteous people, but sinners. So now those who are present, who might have taken issue with what Jesus was doing, were caused to stop and look at their own situation by virtue of this illustration. Or, as the saying goes, as the shoe fits, yes, if it fits, you wear it. A fourth purpose that might be accomplished by an illustration is to allow the listener to focus on what's endeavoring to be taught and to look at it in an objective way so that they won't miss the point of the application or correction that might need to come to them. The reference, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. No doubt you recall that very moving situation. The circumstances, well, David had sinned gravely. Jehovah directed the prophet Nathan to go to David so as to reprove him with righteousness in mind. And so as we turn in our Bibles to 2 Samuel, and there at the beginning of chapter 12, we see the assignment mentioned, and Jehovah proceeded to send Nathan to David, so he came into him, and he said to him, now here he begins to propound an illustration to David, the king. There were two men that happened to be in the one city, the one rich and the other of little means. Now, of course, from our study of the Bible, we recall how this illustration goes. Was it effective? Did it accomplish its purpose? Well, we know that as David listened to the illustration, he got pretty upset. Verse 5 says that this David's anger grew very hot against the man, so that he said to Nathan, as Jehovah is living, the man doing this deserves to die. Verse 7, the purpose of the illustration is unfolding. And then Nathan said to David, you yourself are the man. Did it accomplish its purpose? Verse 13, David now said to Nathan, I have sinned against Jehovah. So we see how that worked out. An illustration was propounded. David was able to look at it objectively. It had its effect. He got the point. He was reproved by the use of that illustration. Well, brothers, let's look at yet a fifth thing that might be accomplished by illustrations. Illustrations can cause the listener to make some decisions, to make some choices. Or by their listening to illustration, it might motivate them to show just where they stand on the issue or issues that might be raised. Well, we, from our study of the Scriptures, have come over the years to appreciate in a very great way the Sermon on the Mount. Oftentimes, we draw attention to it in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And as Jesus rounded out that Sermon on the Mount, notice what he did. And as a reference, we'll direct you to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. But we'll single out two verses. Again, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And as Jesus brings the Sermon on the Mount to a close, verse 24 tells us there in Matthew 7, therefore, everyone that hears these things of mine and does them will be likened to a discreet man who built his house upon the rock mass. And then, by contrast, as we look at verse 26, Jesus says, furthermore, everyone hearing these things of mine and not doing them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. So the beautiful Sermon on the Mount was presented, and then Jesus sees fit to use an illustration so that individuals, after hearing all that Jesus said, would be able to make some decisions about all of these matters. And then by their course, show where they stood on the side of these kingdom interests. Illustrations are beautiful, aren't they? Yes, they help us to see where we can accomplish much in the way of kingdom proclamation. Useful ingredients in our teaching and preaching. But how can we understand and benefit from biblical illustrations? Well, really, a lot has to do with the view that we have of illustrations. Now, it's true, as we've noted thus far in our discussion, the illustrations that Jesus and others use really can be captivating and involved. You can really see the impact of them. But illustrations really do more than that. As we look at illustrations as contained in God's Word, we find that they teach principles and even thereby help us to see how we might make application of those principles. A case in point, Matthew chapter 6. And there in that sixth chapter, beginning in verse 26 through verse 33, we recall the things that Jesus drew attention to by way of illustration to make certain important points. He invited individuals to look at the birds of the heavens. They don't sow seed or plant, but they're fed. They have food to eat. He drew attention to the lilies of the field that individuals were able to see and behold, and he drew attention to how beautiful they were and applied that to the thought of their being clothed. And then what did he do? Well, helping his listeners to appreciate that if Jehovah God is concerned with the care for the birds and to clothe beautiful vegetation, would he not even more so care for those that serve him and love him? His point, don't be anxious. In verse 33 of that sixth chapter, Jesus drew attention to the right priority that followers of Jehovah would have. And they would be individuals that would seek kingdom interests first, and the very daily needs that they would have, Jehovah would adequately supply those. But now, when we look at illustrations of Jesus, sometimes they had prophetic application. And it was true in the case of some of the things that Jesus said by way of illustration that was prophetic, they found fulfillment shortly afterwards. Some had a long-term application and thus fulfillment later. And we might draw your attention to Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 and 38 as an example of that. Jesus noted how the individuals who lived back there really manifested a lack of appreciation for the role that he was playing in the outworking of Jehovah's purposes. They weren't, by and large, responding to the kingdom good news. And then he expressed himself there in that 23rd chapter of Matthew. Let's be reminded of what Jesus said. Out of concern, verse 37, we find Jesus making this remark. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the killer of the prophets and stoner of those sent forth to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks together under her wings. But you people did not want it." Verse 38 goes on to say, "Look, your house is abandoned to you." Well, we look back at the situation. We see that those Jews back there really had the first opportunity to benefit in a grand way as Jehovah's purpose was working out. Jehovah sent his son Christ Jesus, and by and large, they failed to respond to his teachings. And Jesus knew what would happen. So using an illustration, prophetically, he drew attention to what would be their lot. Shortly thereafter, Jehovah would thereby abandon those who were once his named people. And he would invite individuals of the nations to share in these kingdom blessings that he had in store. And less than 40 years later, true to Jesus' words, Jerusalem was destroyed. So we see the short-term and somewhat longer-term fulfillment of Jesus' illustration and its application. Now, some of the illustrations that Jesus used were to have a far-reaching fulfillment all the way down to our day. And our brothers in their discussions to follow will help us to see the import of those. But as a reference, we look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, verses 36 through 43. Again, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then verse 36 through 43. There we find Jesus using illustrations. And here in these illustrations, he was helping his followers to appreciate what would happen shortly. But when we look at the fulfillment of prophecy, and look at the matter of illustrations, brothers, we'd want to keep two important points in mind. Two basic principles. The first, we should not view Bible illustrations simply as good stories with an overall moral lesson. And the case of that would be with the neighborly Samaritan. It was just not some literary gem that Jesus presented, but when we look at that illustration, Jesus was endeavoring to help individuals to appreciate Christian principles and godly qualities there in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. A second principle we want to keep in mind, we should not look for hidden or symbolic meaning in every character or element or detail of an illustration. Case in point, the prodigal son, talked about in Luke chapter 14, verses 11 through 32. Yes, we recall the main characters in the illustration, the father, the son who prematurely asked for his inheritance, the brother. They might have some symbolic application, but we appreciate that other details in the illustration, such as the swine, the robe, the ring, the music, and so on, would not necessarily have symbolic application. So, brothers, we look at illustrations with their intent. We appreciate that the great teacher, Christ Jesus, used illustrations. We endeavor to imitate him. And what is our determination? We want to pay attention to Bible illustrations with a proper and balanced view, so that will enhance our appreciation of kingdom truths and our ability to teach others.